It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, you know, in studio every Wednesday, Mike Fouché joins us.
Yeah.
A little walk-in music, walk hard there.
Yeah, love that.
You know, I think we should talk about city council. Obviously, you know, the big news in Chicago was the woman taking off her shirt at Wrigley Field.
Yeah,
That's the thing. But other stuff happened in Chicago today, including a meeting at city council where Alderman Burke, who for all purposes is the spokesperson for the council, is upset with the Chicago Police Department.
Hey, you know, it was interesting because yesterday his press secretary, Michael Sneed, ran a column about this. she basically said that he's very upset at the city police force because they have a much larger press office than they claim to have, and that there shouldn't be that many police officers working in the news affairs office, and that they shouldn't be busy answering questions from poor slobs like me. They should be out. You know,
right. He's saying that too many police officers are at desk duty answering media questions. Should be working the beat.
Right, right. And, you know, there's actually something to be said for this that, you know, maybe you don't necessarily need a full police officer doing that stuff. But anyway, he really hauled off in city council today. He said, what did he say? He said that you can't trust the word of the Chicago Police Department anymore. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. The Chicago Police Department has bamboozled us. And that was, I mean, he went on for like 10 minutes.
But his point being that the Chicago Police Department isn't necessarily forthcoming about how many officers are working in the media.
In the news affairs office. And that actually they're budgeted for a different number of police officers. And that the police department has played, you know, little games with their headquarters budget so that there would be more police officers working in news affairs than actually doing other paper pushing things in the headquarters. I don't know. And he's mad about this. What's interesting is, you know, this came completely out of left field. And if you know anything about Ed Burke, it's that he loves to give a good speech about how great police officers are.
Yeah.
And how
every time there's a council meeting, he starts with that.
And he loves to talk about how great police officers are. And he loves to talk about how he once worked on the beat for a few minutes and that, you know, he did all these things. And, you know, that it was a stunner to hear him give the speech, which basically means somebody in the police department ticked him off.
Right.
And now he's getting his revenge.
And Alderman Burke has served the council for years, and he continues to be
Chicagoans in the city council.
In the city council for years. But there are times where there will be these, and I don't want to call them nonsensical. That's not the right word. But these, they're kind of limited interest kind of advocating, at the beginning of a council meeting where he takes minutes, sometimes hours.
We need
to
ban cell phone cases that look like guns.
Right.
And then
it becomes a news story.
Right.
I mean, it kind of, in a weird way, you listen because it's Alderman Burke, but at the same time, he's kind of getting in the way of the bigger issues that need
doing
to be discussed.
Stuff. Yeah. He was fired up. I mean, and what's crazy is at the same time, there's also this other major police issue that's floating around, which is what to do with the aviation police at the airport. Aviation police are not the same as the Chicago Police Department. Aviation police are under the O'Hare infrastructure. They don't answer to the superintendent. They have different training. They still go through the police academy. They don't carry a gun. And they cost a little less, actually.
So there's been movement to say, you know what, let's have regular police officers at the airport instead of the aviation police. This in response to what we saw with the dragging the passenger off.
Alderman Raymond Lopez, who actually was a baggage handler at Midway Airport before he became alderman, said we should have regular police officers there on the plane who carry guns that are fully trained that should be doing this sort of thing. And, you know, Matt McGrath, the mayor's press secretary, said the problem on the airplane was bad judgment it wasn't the fact that somebody didn't have a gun.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, this isn't, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong.
We're talking about the United Airlines flight.
You know, when you talk about the aviation force or the police force, the aviation officers that were involved, I mean, do they have a bad reputation? I mean, is this the kind of thing where, because we've heard the stories in the paper about whether they should be armed or not. But we've never really heard them of some rogue force that are coming out, and you hear these mythical stories of, you know, dragging passengers off. No. Until this point, they pretty much had a clean record.
They pretty much did. And, you know,
so it's a little knee-jerk to be like.
I think so. And I think that there's a lot of trying to figure out what's going to happen here, because the city's going to get sued clearly by Dr. Dow as well as United Airlines. And, you know, I think people want to be able to show action. And there's a lot of sensitivity basically about anything that has to do with police in the city of Chicago because of all of the violence problems, because of all of the accusations of racism in the police department, and that there is a blue wall of silence, you know, all of the various things that are going on. And also now we're getting ready to get into the police contract negotiations. The folks at the FOP say that they're going to be fighting for every last thing that's going to be in the police contract. There's a number of items in the police contract that were pointed out by the DOJ in their report last January that are egregious, terrible things. And, you know, the Black Caucus says that they'll vote against anything that doesn't get rid of those items. So everyone is charged up about police.
And I mean, this is, yeah, so it kind of comes at the wrong time to have this sort of national embarrassment for O'Hare,
right,
for United Airlines, for the city of Chicago,
right,
around a force that not a lot of people know about.
Not a lot of people know a lot about it, you know, and it is kind of this strange, it falls into this strange category. And, you know, it's really in a lot of ways kind of a budget trick, I think, is how it got started, because the O'Hare Airport has a completely separate budget, which doesn't affect all the other things, and it's all paid for by gate fees, and it's self-sustaining. And so I think that one of the reasons why there's been this separate aviation police is in order to keep that cost in that bucket rather than it being going to other things that are paid for in the city.
Mike Fouché is with the Daily Line. He joins us every Wednesday here in the Download. We'll take a quick break, come back. We should talk about doomsday scenarios for Chicago Public Schools. That came up. Really?
That'd be great.
June 1st, of course. Not the end of school, but could be the end of school
based on
that's
a threat.
Funds. It's a threat. We'll talk about that coming up here after the break on the Download. Stay with us. It's a Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in studio with us every Wednesday night. Mike Fouché from the Daily Line. We talk all things Chicago.
County.
State politics.
Illinois.
Let's talk a little Indiana politics or maybe just industry. But I thought this was an interesting story. We kind of touched on this in the promo today. This idea of the political fallout of the spill, the chromium spill from U.S. Steel. This happened last week, and you know, it turned out
hexachromium.
It turned out that it's all okay. It looks like the water's fine. It wasn't that big of a deal. But Mayor Emanuel had tough words for essentially a company that's out of his jurisdiction.
Totally,
you know, U.S. Steel is an Indiana company, but essentially said we need answers on when you knew about it, how much was in there, what are the precautions. He seemed to really want to sort of defend Lake Michigan as Chicago's Lake Michigan.
Well,
is there
it's an easy hit for him. You know, I mean, he's not really liable for any of it. The city's not liable. The city doesn't have any responsibility over it. The city doesn't have any jurisdiction. So he can rant and rave and yell and scream as much as he wants. It's sort of like, you know, anytime there's crime in the city, you see somebody from the Cook County Board jumping up and down and saying the city of Chicago needs to fix things.
And you don't hear a city of Chicago politician saying anything.
Right. You know, so, you know, he can yell as much as he wants about Indiana. The fact is that it's over the border. The Indiana EPA is very lax, you know, certainly in comparison to a lot of other places. My family actually grew up on the lakefront. My mom and uncles lived there as kids. And, you know, in the 1950s, growing up literally right next door to U.S. Steel, they were a nightmare. You know, they throwing all kinds of stuff up in the air and dumping all kinds of stuff in the water all the time. It wasn't really until the federal EPA showed up and started making standards when they really started to clean up. And that's basically the deal. You know, it's whether or not the federal EPA is going to be able to enforce things, is going to be able to chase after
this. But the mayor has somewhat of a point in the sense that that is the freshwater lake is a drinking supply, and it's where we get our water, and the city gets our water. So anyone who shares that water supply should treat it in a certain way. So does he have any sort of jurisdictional power to say, you can't do that?
No, that's why we have the federal EPA and the Clean Water Act. The Clean Water Act was basically set up in response to a lot of these things from rivers and Lake Michigan. I mean, you know, you have Lake Erie that was getting all kinds of stuff dumped into it from Cleveland.
And that affects somebody in Pennsylvania. Right.
Right. Yeah. And actually, Green Bay was dumping all kinds of PCBs into the city of Green Bay was dumping all kinds of PCBs into the Green Bay on Lake Michigan. And it was really EPA that got a lot of that to stop. The U.S. EPA. There's not a whole lot that individual states can do when you have a body like Lake Michigan. And you know, that's why we have EPA.
Yeah. Let's talk schools. This has been the threat that's kind of been simmering underneath, and today it was brought up, the idea that because of the ongoing budget situation for Chicago Public Schools, there may be a situation, and this is a threat, but there's a situation that we could see the end of the school year 3 weeks earlier
on
June 1st. Is that a reality? I mean, is that something, are we playing political games with Springfield, or is that something that's really been drawn up as something that CPS is considering?
Well, it depends on who you talk to and what day. I mean, I think that there's general consensus among city leaders that there's no way that CPS will close on June 1st. But the mayor today in a press conference, he first Fran Spielman from the Sun-Times asked him, "Mayor, are you really going to close CPS 3 weeks early?" And the mayor didn't answer it. She jumped on him and said, "Wait a minute, you didn't answer my question." He still didn't answer it. Then Greg Hines from Cranes asked the question again, and he didn't answer it. And Greg Hines said, "No, you really haven't answered my question." And the mayor didn't answer it again. And then he went on to go leave. So, you know, really, the mayor is in a jam here. What he needs is $250 million for CPS. Because that's how much they're short. And that was the money that CPS was counting on in order to make it for this school year. And there was originally going to be the $250 million voted by the state legislature, and then Rauner vetoed it. Well, they need that cash in order to keep the schools open. And they've said June 1st is the day when we run out of money. So what they're counting on is for the state legislature to make some kind of grand bargain before June 1st. Now, the state legislature has a lot of other things that they got to take care of with their own budget. And so I think that what Emanuel is hoping is that they'll wedge in something at the last minute for CPS. The moment that they
they are not going to do that.
The moment that Emanuel says, "Oh, hey, we might pay for it ourselves," that's basically putting up the white flag. And then Rauner and other Republicans could say, "See, we made Chicago pay their own bills. They don't really need us."
So it is a game of chicken that continues
here. Absolutely, it's a game of chicken.
I guess the reason I just kind of had that epiphany is that June 1st, you know, also shares the date as the end of the spring session in Springfield.
Yeah, that's right. May 30th is the end of spring session.
So my point being that you're going to see politics ramp up.
It's going to go berserko.
Whether or not but the truth of the matter is, this is where it gets interesting. We've talked about this. If they don't get a budget done in Springfield and they don't deal with CPS funding in Springfield by June 1st, there's a great chance that they will not deal with either of those issues until after a gubernatorial election.
Yeah. And there's actually there's a number of legislators that I've spoken to that said, "I don't think that there's going to be a budget deal. And I think that we're not going to see a budget until after 2018. I mean, there's already legislators that think that it's a done deal.
That we're not going to
see. Well, nothing will happen.
That we're going to go a full 4-year term of a sitting governor without a budget and without some of these things.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a whole series of dominoes that are starting to fall now. Already the universities are having a hard time borrowing in order to be able to make it. The state universities, public universities, the smaller ones, not the big guys like UIC and Champaign, but all the smaller ones are running into trouble. Illinois, Northeastern, Northern Illinois, Western Illinois, Southern Illinois, they're running into money problems. and Chicago State. So, you know, there's other stuff that's happening, too. There's all these nonprofits that are threatening to close. It's a bad scene.
Mike Fouché with the Daily Line joins us every Wednesday. Like I said, I mean, we're coming up. There's going to be a month and a half here of some serious politics coming up in Chicago and Springfield. And you'll be here every Wednesday to break it down. Mike,
can't
great
wait
to see you. Thanks for being here.
Good to be here.